2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, our Twitter, you can hit that follow button, thesportscast1. Also, on Instagram, and check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. The Champions League final is here between Manchester City versus Inter Milan. Is this it? And Man City is going to finally win the Champions League, which Pep has not won in a while. But that was the goal that they hired him for, to win it and also possibly win the treble as well. Inter Milan, first time in a while. Join us all the way from the West Coast, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
It's good to be back. It's been a while since I've potted in general, but since I've been on the Sportscast, happy to talk soccer like always. So let's get it going.
When was the last time you went on the Sportscast? Was it during the World Cup?
Yep, it was during the World Cup. So it's been a while.
A lot's happened since, but so far,
oh yeah,
club season has not been affected much from the World Cup. What are your thoughts?
I mean, the scheduling is probably the only thing that's been the most off. Like, this is probably the latest the Champions League final has ever been played. But as far as, you know, the big complaints that came before the World Cup and when it was announced that it was going to be a Winter World Cup about too much stress on the players and being overworked, I feel like people have just forgotten about that. So all those people that complain and, you know, wasted their time, it's like, here we are, everybody's back to normal. And, you know, it's going to be even shorter time till the next World Cup, 3.5 years. So I think it's going to make
3 years now.
3 years, yeah, now. But yeah, I think it's going to, you know, get everybody, all the teams, it's going to make them better in the end, because everybody's just going to be quick to, you know, getting back into the program. There isn't, you know, a kind of like a break or, hey, let's take a breather here. You know, it's like, let's get on it. This World Cup's going to be here before you know it.
There has been a ripple effect at a certain degree, Francisco. Argentina obviously won the World Cup. Lionel Messi has become the champion. But that kind of affected his play a little bit in PSG. They didn't do too well these past couple months. He had issues. Well, he had issues of him going to Saudi Arabia, potentially for a deal to play there. Now, this week, he has signed with Inter Milan, probably the biggest news in MLS history. Your thoughts over that acquisition?
I mean, nothing's official yet, but, you know, it looks like they are going to be agreeing. And, you know, I think they just convinced them with everything that they could possibly throw at him, money especially, and, you know, promising him, you know, ownership stakes and teams. And, you know, I think it's either way, you know, he would have looked, it would have been looked at, he's just taking the money if he went to Saudi Arabia, if he came to the MLS. Obviously, as far as I think both teams wanted him for that reason of his, obviously his notoriety. It's Messi, one of the best players in the world. I know a lot of people were mad about that when the MLS made the announcement that he's one of the best, because people, you know, say that he is the best or best of all time, the GOAT. But you know me, I'm a Ronaldo fan, so I'm not going to say that. I can't say that. But yeah, I think it's mainly, you know, because of his influence. And, you know, I think I saw that his, Inter Miami's Instagram followers went from like 1 million to 5 million, which is more than any NFL baseball team here in the U.S. and the biggest, even NBA, I think. So I think that's mainly the reason why he's going to be going, or why there was the big interest from MLS. I don't think, obviously, it's Messi. He's still going to be, you know, Messi and do the things that he's going to do, you know, at a little bit older, but I think he's still, you know, going to be by far the best player in the MLS, no matter who they bring in. Like, there's nobody, unless they bring in Ronaldo, like, who's going to be better than Messi?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, back to what happened in Europe, obviously he wanted to go back to Barcelona. Barcelona, yep, still having a lot of issues financially, pretty much the same thing that happened 2 years ago. He said that they did not bring a formal offer to him. They had to wait it out a little bit, maybe wait till like July or August to get this going. He didn't want to wait. And apparently Barcelona had to offload some players. I think get rid of Gabi perhaps. But Barcelona always had these issues.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good look, especially the way that Messi was talking about the whole situation. I think he was being very direct and sincere about it, that, you know, he said that he's like, I don't know what was going on as far as the directors or the board or anything, but he's like, I know what Xavi told me, and he told me that he wanted me. And so I think that doesn't really speak highly of Barcelona, especially it being Messi. But obviously he still said, I'll be back. He even said that he would live in Barcelona, or he's going to live in Barcelona, you know, once he's done and over with as far as playing career. But yeah, I don't think it's a good look, but I mean, Madrid kind of does the same things as far as like just telling players, giving the players the cold shoulder or turning their backs on them, I guess you can call it. But as far as the financial side of it, I think when La Liga put in this salary cap on players, I think that's really been hurting them. They don't have as much pull as they used to have as far as getting these, you know, players with really big, or getting the interest from players with huge contracts. And I think financial fair play is kind of just a big burden right now on La Liga, and it's a new thing for them. So teams are still learning and trying to figure, you know, ways around it, because there's always ways around it. Look at Man City. we'll take the punishment, you know, we'll deal with it later. But yeah, I think in general, it just, I was telling this to my roommate that like, it's crazy how the MLS has as much, or if not more, buying power than some of these European leagues. I think that's kind of where I stand on it. I think, you know, the top five European leagues should have all the money to, you know, bring in whoever they want at whatever point or whatever stage they're at in their career, whether they're just trying to retire with a lot of money, you know, towards the end of their career, if it's a new, fresh, young player. I think it would have been interesting to see if Barcelona would actually offload Gavi for to try to bring in Messi. I think that would have been interesting, but you know, Messi didn't want to wait, and it sounds like to me like he kind of expected like a bigger to be received, you know, in a higher manner, I guess, from the board, reception. You know, way better reception, like, as far as like, yeah, come Messi, we'll give you whatever you want. So I think that's another reason
that a few from within Barcelona did not want him back. We're talking about like the front office, so they were not completely on board with it.
Yeah, I think maybe that has to do more with like the financial side of it, that they just knew that they weren't going to be able to afford him or pay him what he wanted, because I mean, let's face it, he's one of the best or the top paid soccer players in the world. So in order to compete, especially with Saudi Arabia, I'm sure Saudi Arabia was offering him crazy money.
$1.8 billion.
I'm surprised he didn't take that deal. But maybe it's just, you know,
he has so much money in the bank, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, the Saudi league is still growing, and I don't know, maybe the weather or something, you know, like there's a lot of things that, plus he's got a family and everything too, to think about. It's not just himself. So, you know, obviously one single person, you know, if they're on their own, they could decide for themselves, but I got to look out for your family too. So I understand that. I am a little surprised he didn't take that billion.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, we'll get back more into transfers, because I know Real Madrid has done some movement this past week or two, really fast. A lot going on this past week since all the leagues have been over and concluded. Holler from Enga Darwin from Facebook. Holler back at you. Let's go into the Champions League final preview. These are the first time these two have met. First time since 2005. Liverpool versus AC Milan, that the first competitive meeting between two sides is a Champions League final. Erling Haaland has scored 12 goals for Manchester City this past season. But Man City is the favorite. Obviously, they won the FA Cup a week ago and they won the Premier League. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Biggest takeaway from me is don't let Man City win the treble. Come on, Inter Milan, you can do it. You can do it. That's who I'm rooting for, the underdog. But you know, with that being said, though, I'm obviously a little hurt from the Man City, the semifinal Man City Real Madrid. Seeing Real Madrid lose like that was not
5-1. That was probably like the most embarrassing thing for Real Madrid I've ever seen. Probably worse than like
it was Barcelona brutal.
Or Messi scoring on them.
Yeah, like I didn't want to turn the game off, but yeah, I almost did at one point. I was like, I can't handle any more of this. You had to for
professional services.
Yeah, I think in all honesty, Man City is probably going to win it just because of the way that they've been playing. They have a really good bench. Inter Milan, while you know they are also a good team, I just don't think what they have. They don't have what it takes to beat a team like this. So many options for Man City. You know, every game it seems like just when you have them, they have another, you know, ace or another card up their sleeve. They've got a secret weapon somehow, whether it's Gundogan, whether it's Kevin De Bruyne. You never know who's going to be the focal point of their attack. And, you know, just when you think you got them, boom, there's Erling Haaland also, you know, scoring a goal. And I just, they got a lot of firepower. They got a really good bench. Inter Milan, you know, I think best thing going for them is to play defensive and hope for you know, some luck there and, you know, keep it as tight as possible. If you let Man City score one, that's it. It's over. So hoping for the best. And I really don't want Man City to win the treble just because, you know, I don't like Pep Guardiola at all. Man City, the team itself, I can put up with. You know, I do like Erling Haaland, and I think at one point in his career he is going to play at Real Madrid, so that's why I'm not gonna hate against him. You know, he's,
you heard it really here good. First
he's a really good player. You know, probably, you know, here in a year or two, probably going to be the best striker in the world. And if he's not, be pretty close to it already right now. His goal potential, you know, now his physical size, you know, he's left-footed, like there's almost no negative things about him, and he's still young and learning. So that's, you know, the best thing about it right now is that he's at a point with the coach that, you know, can teach him everything that he needs to learn for that position. So I'm excited for his future, and you know, why not add a Champions League trophy to his cabinet, you know, at 21, which is amazing that he's that young, 22, whatever he is.
Yeah, obviously may be considered the current and also the future of one like of the top players in the world, put that with Mbappe. But let's see what they did to get to this this mess of the Champions League final. Let's go into the knockout bracket. How did Man City get here? Man City, obviously, they beat RB Leipzig 8-1. Look at these aggregates. They're pretty massive. Then Bayern Munich 4-1. That was a big one. That was one of the first signs of, hey, this might be the real deal. Then Real Madrid 5-1. I thought it would be a way closer series, but when it got to Manchester, it got really ugly for Real Madrid. Inter Milan, they beat Porto 1-0, pretty tight margin. Then they beat Benfica 5-3. Then AC Milan was probably one of the most boring semi final I've ever seen in my life. The one by 3-0. And this is a whole Italian bracket. I mean, that was pretty suspicious when I saw that. I'm not saying UEFA does these things on purpose, but this bracket for Inter was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say Porto was probably their hardest opponent. AC Milan basically just bent over for him and gave him the final. Benfica, that wasn't going to be any problem or no issue for any team. So I think Porto was the most difficult opponent they had going into the final. Yeah, I was also a little suspicious about the all Italian semifinal. That was a little weird, especially AC Inter. Is like, both of these teams aren't even, Napoli smoked them in their league. So I was more surprised Napoli didn't make it into the semifinal than anything else.
Yeah, they were one of the favorites. They won the Serie A. Inter finished third in Serie A, although they ended their season with 11 wins from 12 games in all competitions, including a Coppa Italia final win over Fiorentina, who lost against West Ham this past week. They will have their work cut out to beat City here. They're the only fourth side ever to reach the Champions League, Francisco, final, having lost their first game of the season in the competition. So they didn't have a good group, because their group was, they finished second in Group C behind Bayern Munich. The Bayern Munich had 18 points. Inter had 10 points. So they didn't have a great group stage. So it was kind of interesting take there. Let's look at the lineups here, the players wise. As Francisco already mentioned, a little bit of the players for Man City, but let's look at Inter Milan. They got Onana as the goalkeeper, Darmian as the right back, Acerbi center back, Bastoni. Then you got DeMarco, Kalinagli, Brozovic, Barella, Dumfries, Martinez, and DeZecco. The stars that really stand out for me, Francisco, is Lautaro Martinez, the Argentinian who won the World Cup a couple months ago, and of course, DeZecco. Which of this team roster do you find very intriguing and important for this game?
For Inter Milan, right?
Yeah, Inter.
Definitely Martinez. I think that's their the focal point of the team and who they should be basing the team around. They do kind of struggle to feed their strikers. I think that that's mainly the biggest thing that they're struggling with. Defensively, I think they're fine. I really like Onana. I think he's really safe goalkeeper. Good hands. He was suspended for a good amount of time, but we'll forget about that. I think Martinez is definitely their focal point. I'm also surprised that he's still at Inter Milan. I feel like he should have left last year or even the year before that. Dzeko, I think he had his time back, years ago, also played at Man City.
Yeah, but he's familiar with their system, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was before Pep's time, but I don't really have a lot of positive things to say about Inter Milan other than their defensive game. I think that's probably their best thing going forward for them. I mean, that doesn't really make sense. Defend to attack, but for some teams that does make sense. But yeah, I think they're going to try and hold them off. And like I said, either use a set piece or corner kick or, try to expose, Man City's defense, whenever they can. Because while they are a solid team going forward, I think that's where they kind of struggle. So that's probably where Inter Milan can expose some of their weaknesses.
And their coach is Simone Inzaghi. Let's look at the Man City's roster, of course, from the back. Ederson, then Akanji, who's been playing a lot lately, Ruben Diaz, Ake from Holland, Rodri, Stone, Silva, De Bruyne, Gundogan, Grealish, and Haaland. Of course, this lineup could change because Man City has a deep roster, but do you think this is a very probable roster? What's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably what's worked for them the best. This three back line, sometimes four, which is a very interesting strategy to use four center backs. whenever they use Kyle Walker, I feel like that's probably when they have their weakest squad, just because I don't think he understands the system at all. He just kind of does whatever he thinks is the best defensively, whether that's just running after players or just running up and down the sideline, which I think the players, the other players that Manchester City have as far as ball distribution, Silva, Grealish, I think it's way smarter of a strategy to use this four center back, fluid four center backs, I guess, with Stones kind of playing up into midfield and kind of like a center defensive role. But Rodri's basically a center back as well with his size. Like, he might be bigger than Akanji, I think, and Ake, like, this guy's a freaking wall. So it's kind of like five center backs. So defending with five and attacking with six, defending with five and attacking with five, is kind of balances out nice for them. And at times I feel like, their opponents are overwhelmed with the amount of attack that they have just because of that five block that they have defensively. So that, you know, tends to work out really, really well for them and usually makes teams sit back pretty deep. And, you know, with Erling Haaland, good luck stopping him. You know, he's fast. You can't keep up with him. If you do keep up with him, he's probably going to outmuscle you and, you know, either steal the ball from you or you won't be able to take the ball away from him. And, you know, with Silva, with De Bruyne, with Gundo, with Grealish, all these guys can serve the ball up to him, whether it's in the air, on the ground, you know, touch and go, a give and go, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's just, they have all the potential, you know, going forward. So that's kind of nice for them. But like I said, I think that their weakest point is their defense. And for me, Ederson is also, he's not as good as a goalkeeper as people make him out to be. I think he plays, a little shaky. He does really well with his feet. But you're a goalkeeper. You need your hands, you know. So I think there's something definitely there to expose on Ederson. You know, take some rippers at him, take some deep shots, feel him out, make him nervous, and you know, you never know what could happen.
Are you saying you prefer Alisson over Ederson?
I don't know if I prefer any of them, to be honest. Alisson is a little shaky, also.
Yeah, he has been lately. I have to be honest. As a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, like, I don't know, he just catches me off guard sometimes. Like, I feel like he's got good reach, but he's really lazy to get to the ground and those low powered shots. But also he's just kind of, he's a little deceptive at times. Like, he doesn't look like he could be like a really athletic type of person, like especially for diving, you know, or like a goalkeeper. But sometimes he surprises me and he makes some pretty good saves. But I don't know, if you made me choose between the two, I don't really think it would matter. I would just put a really solid defense in front of him and hope for the best.
1 year ago, Courtois was the man of the match. Which of these two goalkeepers, Ederson or Onana, will make a difference for this match tomorrow?
I would put my money on Onana more than Ederson. I think if anyone's going to be keeping them in the game, I think it's going to be Onana on the defensive side and goalkeepers. You know, he's got a great saves, he's got good reach, he can dive, you know, and I don't think he really has like a weak point. I was looking at his defensive stats and I don't remember what they were specifically, but in the Italian league, I think he had some pretty good save percentages, and also I think he had pretty good amount of clean sheets. So I think bringing him back, I think there was a reason why Inter Milan were seeking him out. They were like, we don't care what he's done in the past. Like, yeah, he took some of his wife's supplements accidentally. Okay, we'll take him. Gets banned for, you know, a prohibitive substance. But I think there's definitely a reason why they were seeking him out and waited for him until he was cleared to play again. So I think he'll be the difference maker between the two.
Top scorers for each team, Haaland and Dzeko, is not Lautaro Martinez, believe it or not. 12 goals this season, Haaland. Dzeko had 4 goals. So it's not much. I think the goals are spread out within.
But look at their rating, though. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
It's 7.74 for
based
Haaland
on the goals.
7.06 Dzeko.
Unless
that might be very key.
Unless he's only had 4 shots and 4 goals the whole campaign. Like, how is his rating in the sevens?
Yeah, quite interesting how Fatma puts his arrangement. So these two teams have not met since 2011, I believe. The last played in the preseason friendly back in 2011 when Dzeko was starting for Man City.
And, oh, he was still at Man City.
Yeah, and they beat them at 3-0. So obviously two different teams since from 12 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and last time Inter has been to a UCL final was in 2010. I remember that. Jose Mourinho was there. I was going to say Robin was there, I think. So, and they beat Bayern Munich, I think. No, oh yeah, Bayern Munich had Robin. My bad. And oh, Inter, yeah, yeah. I don't think they had anyone significant in that squad. I don't know if you watched that match that time.
That was a little while back, so I don't remember specifically.
You didn't watch soccer back then.
You're a fake soccer fan. You didn't watch back then. Now, I was watching mostly Mexican League back then.
Liga MX.
Yeah, yep.
The rise of Chicharito. But yeah, let me look at that game, which it was, oh wow, a lot going on there. Julio Cesar was keeper, Lucio, Hannerback had Maicon, Zanetti, Cambiaso, Snyder. That was the one I get mixed up with. Eto, Milito, Pandev.
Oh, dude. So this is probably Mourinho's best squad ever.
Yeah, probably one of his best squads, which he is available, apparently. He might leave Roma, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is the squad back then. Of course, Bayern Munich had Olich, Müller, and a top Robin.
Munich was Bayern was also stacked.
Yeah, Schweinsteiger. Van Bommel, Bastuber, Demichelis from Argentina, Van Buten, Lahm, and Butt.
Olich, oh, was this after the World Cup when Olich, wasn't he like the top scorer in that World Cup?
Olich, he is Croatian, right?
Yeah, I think that was after he went off in the World Cup.
Did Croatia have a good World Cup in 2010? I don't think they did.
No, he was just scoring goals.
I don't think they went deep. But these Croatian teams have had some good World Cup history.
Yep. Mario Gomez, Klose.
Yeah.
Not a bad bench.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
but yeah, that was definitely, though, Inter Milan is probably one of their best teams of all time. And for Cordoba. Sure, Mourinho put together a freaking squad.
Squad.
And, nobody thought that these guys were going to get to as far as they did. But, you know, Eto was, this was like his, right at his prime.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very good squad. Then he went to Chelsea for a bit, but that was the last time Inter Milan went to the final and they won it. Don't think they'll do it this year. It's a whole different team. And Zage is the manager for Inter, so we'll see what happens. Before we get into predictions, let's go into the transfer market. Real Madrid, they lost one big player, I would say, is Benzema went to Saudi Arabia. He only won Ballon d'Or about a year ago. What happened there? Is something that, you know, he didn't score much goals, or like, what are your thoughts over him moving out of Madrid?
Well, my thoughts are that it's, I kind of see it in the same way as when Ronaldo left. You know, there was a kind of like mixed feelings about. Not in that way. I guess it was a little different because I didn't feel like that until after it was announced that Ronaldo was going to leave or was seeking a way out. I think this was a little bit kind of out of nowhere for Benzema, but I think unlike Messi, Benzema heard the dollar bills and Benzema was like, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take that right now. Which, you know, you can't blame him for.
Benzema hasn't made like enough money like Messi has. So it's totally
right. Right. I mean, his contract was pretty big, you know, that he was still on and had another year on. But I think, as far as, where the team was at, especially with what happened in Champions League and, you know, falling on their face basically in La Liga and letting Barcelona take the title, which I still can't believe, you know, also, with how bad
and
Barcelona started,
struggled with some injuries this past season as well.
Yeah, there was,
and for sure there was, a lot of things going on, but I think now it's like, all right, he's gonna leave. And we're kind of at that, like, this is what I was trying to say. Now that we know he's going to leave and he's going to be gone, we're at the point where, like, when Ronaldo left, it's like, what do we do? Who do we replace him with? Like, he was our star player. We don't, there's nobody out there. And that, it's even worse now because of financial fair play. Like, there's no one to, like, when they were talking about Kai Havertz, I was like, come on. Like, Kai Havertz, we cannot replace Benzema with Kai Havertz. That's embarrassing. Yeah, please do not bring him in.
Yeah, and then plus that, and like what I've heard, those negotiations have fallen a bit.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen because Real Madrid doesn't want to pay 60. I think that was the price, 60 million, I think, euros.
Yeah, my dollars.
Which, you know, I think maybe 40 at best, but Chelsea wasn't gonna let him go for anything less, or even. You know, they paid a pretty good amount, pretty good chunk of money for him. But yeah, it's, you know, I can't blame him for leaving and for taking the money. I think we were kind of at a split in the road as far as, you know, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to stick with Benzema and, you know, keep build the team for next year around him, or bring in players to keep that same squad mentality that we have right now, you know, with, you know, the type of forward that he is, or are we going to, you know, bring in the fresh new young talent and hopefully go from there, which I think that's kind of always been at this new, you know, with bringing in Vinicius and Rodrigo, you know, like the that we want young players to come in. And I think there should, you know, go back to, you know, pulling players from the reserves in La Cantera with, you know, Ramos de Castilla and whatnot. I think, you know, we should use those players to you know, help us out in the league. And, you know, you never know what could pop out of there. I mean, obviously business always gets involved, and, you know, there's this, somebody here's a, you know, here's this new young, you know, Spanish striker, and like all the teams are quick to, you know, offer up money, and, you know, they take it, and later on, you know, they're scoring goals against us in the Liga, you know, for a guy that we sold for, you know, 3 or 4 million. You know, I think we need to take advantage of that. Like, the team puts in a lot of money and invests a lot of money into the youth squads to build these players up, and then, you know, just to sell them in the end. I think we should use some of them and try to focus a little bit more on that.
But and they're not just not using it from within.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm definitely, you know, excited that, you know, we're bringing new players in. You know, Jude Bellingham, I think that's going to be a huge addition to the team, especially with, you know, Toni Kroos and Modric, you know, being at the age that they are. Like, they can't continue to play, you know, game in and game out, game after game in La Liga, in Champions League, high intensity games. You know, at the age that they're at, like, I'm not saying that they're not good, and I'm just saying that, you know, eventually you run out of stamina, you know, you can't keep up.
Which they did against Man City.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I feel like that was also kind of a mistake from Ancelotti's side. You know, the rotation and the resting of players was off, you know, for those 2 weeks leading up to the game and before that series. And so, you know, I'm definitely excited for Bellingham to come in. It's going to be a little pricey, but, you know, it's I think it's going to be worth it in the end. Huge contract. I think it's still 2029 for him. I think a little over 100 million with some bonuses or something included in there. So I'm definitely, looking forward to seeing him play. You know, from what I've seen, him at Dortmund and in the few games I've been able to catch, like, I like his the way he plays, the way he carries the ball, and you know, it looks like he influences the people around him when he's playing, you know, the drive that he has on the field, and like, just up and down all the time. So I'm super excited to see him in the squad.
Another players have been stepping out. Of course, Benzema went to Al-Ittihad. Marco Asensio, another big player, key of Real Madrid, possibly going to PSG. What happened there? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was just, he was mainly coming off the bench. He would start a couple games. I mean, he would come off the bench and, you know, score goals. And he was pretty, yeah, super sub. He was clutch in a lot of the games that he was able to play in, you know, just key goals that were like, all right, it's a close game. We need somebody to go in there and, you know, get us one, and has a nice left foot. So I always appreciate players, left-footed players. But, you know, age, maybe that's maybe the biggest thing it was. I don't know specifically what was going on with him. Maybe they just couldn't offer him the type of money and the amount of money that he wanted. You know, he's getting up there. He's been in the squad for a long time. I think it was also it was nice to see him recover and get back to the same level that he was at before his injury. I mean, obviously players are never the same after, you know, an injury like that. You know, knee injuries are really bad. But yeah, I was pretty surprised actually that, you know, he got to basically 100%, I would say 99.9%. I don't really see a huge difference in the way he was playing before. You know, mentality is also a big thing when it comes to injuries. You know, being able to go, 100% again, which I really appreciated. So I think he was fully committed to Real Madrid. So it's a little sad to see him go. Also, you know, sad to see him go to PSG, because we might end up facing him in the future.
Champions League final. Yeah. Possibly. I call it right now, 2024.
So,
final.
We'll in the final, possibly, hopefully.
And also, finally, one that was coming, Eden Hazard, possibly late retirement, but he is leaving Real Madrid, confirmed by Madrid itself. Your thoughts on Eden Hazard?
Yep, I hope he's money. I hope he's happy with the money that he took from Real Madrid, because he definitely didn't deserve any of it. him coming into the team, I've just never been a big fan of it. I think we definitely overpaid for him, and look what we got out of it. 7 goals, I think. I don't remember what it was, but
I haven't counted.
The statistics were not best. Got very little playing time. Injuries were a big thing, and just wasn't cut out for La Liga. I think there was, you know, flashes here and there of, you know, his potential, but I feel like he kind of was already burnt out from his time at Chelsea and playing in the Premier League. I think that was his prime, that was his peak, and it was a little too late by the time he came to Real Madrid. His dream came true of playing for the Whites, but Real Madrid fans' dreams did not come true as far as what they expected from him. So I'm definitely happy to see him go. That is a lot of money off the books as far as the player salaries. So yeah, and you know, last player there, Mariano, also going on end of his contract, which, you know, I'm you know, neither here or there about him.
Much about him.
Yeah, I think he was just always, you know, bench warmer. That's probably the best, description I could give of him.
To keep him and maybe give some bench numbers.
Right. He went on a couple of loan spells to see, you know, if he could, you know, get better and grow, but I just don't think that he was cut out for the big teams, especially for being a starter. And, you know, you're never going to start over Benzema unless, you know, you are better than Benzema. So I think
another entry into Madrid, who's actually from the youth academy from Madrid, Fran Garcia. He's loaned out to Rayo Vallecano. He's a right back. Your thoughts about him? I heard he's compared to Jordi Alba, very close type of player like him.
Yeah. I would say that's kind of what he's got the potential to grow into, is that type of player. He's definitely got the speed. He's young. But, you know, for to play defense, I think the you got to be, you know, smart. You got to have the brain. I think that's kind of the bigger thing. And so having a combination of that, I think it's going to work out well. And like I said, we were just talking about the youth system and bringing in the younger players. And yeah, I think he's got a lot of potential. So I hope we use him. Definitely, you know, could use some strengthening in both fullback positions, right and left. I think Carvajal is, you know, he's done his time at Madrid. He's definitely, I have no complaints over Carvajal. I think he was always through and through around Madrid player, you know, always showed out for the team and the badge and loved the team. So, you know, obviously it's going to be sad when he leaves eventually, but I think if we keep him around to teach, you know, Fran Garcia or any other young right back, I think that's going to be a good move. And, you know, we thought we had a good potential for left back as in with Mendy, but I think that's kind of fallen out a little bit. I think he's kind of hit his ceiling. And so I don't know if there's going to be much more there to play with as far as, you know, he's got the speed, but I just don't think that he has that mentality. Like I said, he doesn't have the brains to play defense, makes a lot of mistakes. And so looking forward to seeing if we strengthen the left side as well.
Another, which we'll get into rumors right now. Rumors, one of the top ones, Harry Kane, potentially to fill that hole with Benzema. Do you think that could happen? I know they tried to do Havertz, and you were saying that probably going to fall through. But what do you think about Harry Kane wearing a white shirt?
Yeah. I mean, I am a fan of Harry Kane. I do like the way that he plays. You know, the amount of goals that he scored for Spurs, I think it would be interesting to see him in the top team. I mean, you know, Tottenham's never really been up there. I mean, mainly because, you know, they're in the Premier League. I think that's why people see him as a top team. But I think having that pressure most of the time, I think for Harry Kane at Spurs, he's always just been in an underdog team. Like the odds were always up against them. So it would be nice to see him in a team where it's like, he doesn't have to worry about, you know, oh man, this guy's feeding me balls. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to that. Like, I have to be more of a false nine and kind of the player that he's kind of grown into and evolved as now. And, you know, he's just all around, you know, striker, which there's not a lot of players like that can do, you know, have great touches, can pass, can lay the ball off, you know, can do a 1-2 and still, you know, sprint the whole game. So I think it may be a little late as far as the asking price for him. So if anything, maybe just wait
out till next year.
Contract expires.
Yeah, will be until next summer. So
get him for free.
Exactly. Which then he'll have a couple of options. Then obviously Madrid will be on the table. Man City, Man United, not Man City, more Man United speaking. Another rumor that's kind of quieted down lately is Firmino, who has been released from Liverpool. Can you see him in a Real Madrid shirt?
I guess with strikers, they're kind of like with the top strikers, you know, they kind of can be compared to like goalkeepers as far as like, you know, the older they get, when they mature, they learn a lot more, and you know, their speed might be their athleticism might be a little affected by their age, but as far as the how smart they are on the field and with how they play, that makes up for it. So I think with both Harry Kane and Firmino, that's kind of what concerns me, is their age. And, you know, the fact that they've kind of had their their prime, I guess, essentially, you know, at these other clubs. Like, that's kind of how I see Firmino, that he had his prime at Liverpool, and same with Harry, like his prime was kind of at Spurs. So I don't really want Madrid to go after players that have kind of already been through a period of that. But, you know, if Firmino is, he doesn't have a team right now, right? He's
his free.
Contract expires, totally, so he's free. Yes. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, you know, hate that idea of, you know, bringing him in if they can agree a good contract for him that both benefits both teams or both sides. As far as playing, yeah, I think he could be, you know, if we're trying to, like, right now, you know, we're obviously going to stick with Carlo Ancelotti. If we kind of are in a transition year where if we're trying to see, like, can we still use the same tactics and play in the same way if we had a player like Benzema and not Benzema himself? So I could see, you know, if that being an idea to bring him in, to possibly be a replacement for him. And that's what he would be, a replacement. He wouldn't be a player that we can, you know, just throw in there and be like, oh yeah, he played exactly like Benzema, you know. But, you know, sometimes players just need a little motivation and inspiration. And that's kind of what Firmino has been missing. You know, hasn't been the same player that he was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, just because Liverpool has changed so much and it's mainly sat on the bench. And so maybe, you know, putting on the white shirt, you know, getting a little motivation, hearing, you know, 60,000-80,000 fans, you know, screaming your name is the thing that he needs to get him back into scoring form. So I don't hate the idea.
With more fellow Brazilians as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Not a bad thing to have. Well, we'll see what happens with Madrid. They're making some signings, but their main goal was Jude Bellingham. So they got him. A little way more successful than a year ago with Mbappe, who turned him down for PSG, which Mbappe could come next year to Madrid. We'll see if they want him back or try to renegotiate again. I would say for my Liverpool, they got Alexis McAllister, so they're starting up to freshen up the midfield. We'll see what happens if they gave Mason Mount, possibly, but I heard he might go to Man United or somewhere else. I think he turned down Liverpool, as far as I can tell, or like what I've heard. So there you have it. Well, anything else, Francisco, before we head into predictions for the big game tomorrow?
I'm sure there's transfers here and there. Oh, let me ask you about this. What do you think about your boy Christian Pulisic?
Oh,
possibly,
yeah,
leaving Chelsea.
Yeah, he might get offloaded. I heard he wants to leave. I've been hearing interest from AC Milan. But then yet again, Chelsea could keep him. I know Taboli, you know, wants to do more marketing in the U.S., so having Pulisic will do. But and then Pochettino, I heard he's open, but I think Pulisic wants to leave and possibly go to a club where he can get more playing time. But he's injury prone, so I don't expect him to play all season.
Okay, but what do you think? What do you want to happen with him?
I want him to stay in Chelsea
or leave.
I want him to stay in Chelsea, or maybe just in the Premier League itself. Gets more exposure, better high level quality play. Even going to a Newcastle, perhaps. Or I was about to say Everton, but that's probably not a good place to go.
No, not Everton.
He was once rumored to go to Liverpool at once. So who knows? These surprises could happen during the transfer market. Besides that, I mean, I can't think of anywhere else in the Premier League besides going to a smaller club, like Brighton, but I want him to stay in the Premier League in Chelsea, perhaps. I mean, he's CP10, Francisco. He has the number 10 shirt in Chelsea. That's tough to get.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure. Hard to get. And then I got one more question. What do you think about, all these players basically fleeing and running to Saudi Arabia and chasing the money?
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed. I know Conte has also been that one player with Benzema and of course joining Ronaldo. I think a lot of these players are towards the end. I mean, let's be honest, Benzema was probably towards the end of his career. I think he peaked right now. He didn't have a good season. He had bad with his hamstrings. Conte also had an injurious year for Chelsea. So they're probably saying, look, I probably have to go soon. And let me just get my retirement check. I think they were planning to get some other player. And I think Saudi Arabia wants to get like three good players for each team. I'm not sure how many teams they have.
I think they have some rules, I think, as far as kind of like MLS type, like they have like three designated kind of thing.
Designated players. So I imagine, I hope players that go there are the ones that are towards the end of their prime or they're out of their prime, rather than someone that's 27, like Pulisic, that goes to Saudi Arabia or something. But hey, all power to them. And they're trying to do that for the World Cup because they want to get 2030.
Yeah, true.
Which I think it should go to Uruguay to celebrate the 100th anniversary because the first World Cup was in Uruguay.
I mean, as far as marketing, I feel like that lines up pretty nicely. That screams dollar bills to me, but you never know what could happen with that Saudi money, that oil money.
Yeah, everyone's like, and soccer Middle East don't belong. It doesn't, you know, go well. Yeah,
and especially knowing FIFA and their history of briberies.
Yeah, exactly. So if
that's all it Netflix, takes is money.
Exactly. So we'll see what the new regime of FIFA does. If they go to Saudi Arabia, then they're continuing their old ways. So Mexico national team, have they find a manager yet?
Well, they have Coca.
Okay.
And that's kind of who they've been sticking with. He used to be at the Atlas manager there with in the Mexican league. I feel like that's still a transition manager. I don't think he's going to be the manager for
not the permanent manager
for the World Cup.
He's from Argentina.
Like, yeah, yeah, he's like, you know, from one Argentinian coach to another.
You don't think he'll be the permanent manager?
I mean, no, not as far as like taking us to the World Cup,
unless he wins. Well, you guys are in the World Cup already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just mean he's not going to be the manager in the World Cup. That's going to be in the World Cup. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that it's time for a change. I mean, that's not going to happen just because of the way that the Mexico national team, the leadership, the board and everything, how it's set up, you know, the people at the higher ups at the top are not going to want to make the changes necessary. I think, you know, it's been a long time coming as far as like the team needs to be taken in a new direction. The whole, you know, board and everybody needs to be changed. But until then, we're just going to keep getting Argentinian managers, I guess. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Speaking of Argentinian managers, Tata Martino is rumored to go to Inter Miami and become Inter Miami's manager.
Oh, that would be classic.
Lionel Messi's manager, which he has MLS experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with Atlanta, right? He won a title with them.
Which he won a title with them. So, which that will work out well. And then Inter Miami might get a bunch of old Barcelona, Argentina players in that squad.
Oh, no. Let's build the ultimate ex-Barca squad here in MLS and sell out the, you know, 10,000-person stadium that we have.
And Lionel's first debut for Inter might be during Leagues Cup, which is a tournament between Liga MX clubs and MLS clubs. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. Just going to be booking these freaking MLS stadiums out. Let's use, you know, all these 80, 100,000 person MLS stadiums that never get full during regular season MLS games. Finally, they're going to fill up when Messi comes.
How much buzz is there for Liga, for like Leagues Cup in Mexico? Is it a huge thing they're talking about?
I mean, not really. I think to me, it's just another tournament to them. you know, they've been facing MLS teams for a while, so
it's pretty much a Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League minus the Central American teams, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a same tournament but with a different name. You know, it's got a rebrand. So
and it's on Apple TV Plus, which the Mexican fans have to get Apple TV Plus to watch a tournament.
Yeah. Don't forget the plus there, because you don't just get it just because you have Apple TV. You have to pay extra for that. Just like with the MLS, they got the MLS fans real good with that one. Like they said, oh, no more blackouts. Oh, but guess what? You got to play for the MLS package itself in order to watch the games. You can't just have Apple TV.
There you go. Well, these cup is this July. We'll see Lionel Messi in that tournament, which will be.
Are you going to go see him since he's going to be pretty close to you?
Tickets have gone up to a grand, literally.
Even at the top, or I guess there's no
even the worst seats. Yeah, it's not like that stadium is 18,000.
18. People are going to be lining up and trying to break into the stadium, trying to see Messi.
Yeah, so now I'm forced to go get Apple TV Plus and MLS package.
Forced, you know, go just get a box for Messi then. Get yourself a private suite.
So
go all out.
It's interesting how, like, his contract, he gets residuals from Apple. He gets a contract with Adidas, something with Adidas he's worked out with. And
yeah, which he was already getting money from them.
Yeah, exactly. And then he gets... Francisco froze.
Oh, did I lose you? Oh, there we go.
There you internet connection's unstable. All right. So, well, there you have it. We got Champions League tomorrow. Final. We talked about MLS. We talked about Real Madrid transfers, some other transfers. Let's go into the final prediction, score, and everything. Man City versus Inter Milan in Istanbul, Turkey, 3 p.m. Eastern. What is your prediction, Francisco Flores?
All right. My prediction is... I'm not going to think about it. Inter Milan 1-0.
Inter Milan 1-0. You're the only guy in the sports cast that's predicted Inter Milan to win. Everyone's picked Man City.
I'm rooting for the underdog in this one.
And who scores, Lautaro or Dzeko?
It's going to be Çalhanoğlu off of a free kick.
Okay.
Top corner. Ederson's not even going to move. He's just going to freeze and be like, oh, I should have got there.
There you go. I got Man City winning. I think it might go to penalties. It feels like all these
0-0 or 1-1.
Might be like a 1-1 or 0-0, but I think it's going to go to penalties. And I'll say 1-1, even though it's pretty low scoring.
Who's going to miss first?
Who's going to miss?
Or is Man City just going to put them all in five?
Man City's going to put it all in and enter. One of these guys are going to miss it. Probably defender.
Inzaghi's going to put himself in and take a penalty. The coach.
No.
Let me take one.
If it goes really bad. but yeah, there you have it. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Francisco got enter. I got Man City. We'll see what happens. Man City gets the treble and their first Champions League trophy ever. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you who should be the permanent coach for Mexico?
Yeah, you can ask me all types of questions like that, soccer related or not soccer related, whatever you want, at on my Twitter at Francisco BCP. That's the best place to reach me. Not really on the pod scene anymore, but hey, I'm still on the socials, so hit me up and we'll see what's send your hate mail to, you know, like are you Barcelona fans as well, Messi fans?
Yeah, Barcelona won the league, give them credit, but they did not get Messi after all.
Still can't believe that.
You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be live tweeting the match tomorrow. And of course, the NBA finals tonight, game 4. Who do you got that one, Heat or Nuggets?
I got the Nuggets. Let's go. MVP. MVP.
Nikola Jokic might win.
Jokic, yep. He is the real MVP, not Embiid.
Embiid. Well, there you have it. NBA, NHL, Florida Panthers cut the series in half 2-1. We'll see what they do tomorrow if they tie it up. Well, Francisco, thanks for coming on this hour long of soccer. We needed the soccer update. We haven't had one since February, I believe. So I'm glad we got this out of the way, but we'll see how Madrid's roster looks in August and maybe, you know, get back into retooling because Ancelotti's Real Madrid and Ancelotti confirmed that he will not be going to Brazil. So that's a plus.
Oh, yeah. And there'll be lots more to talk about, too, especially the summer transfer window is going to be open here pretty soon. The official transfer window. So, we got to get together and do another one.
Exactly. A lot of news. Here we go. Francisco, thanks for coming on to the sportscast.
Thanks for having me.
This was your update.